off of the Lord worship this morning. Oh, Jesus. Let my tongue proclaim your precious name. You alone deserve my highest praise. My highest praise. We're going to move into a time of prayer. And the song that we're going to sing is Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. And in Acts 4:31, the scripture says the place where they were meeting, talking about the disciples, the apostles, where they were meeting. This is after Jesus had left and he had promised his Holy Spirit to come and dwell as a helper and as a friend. It says the place that they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And each of us standing in this room have that opportunity for the Holy Spirit to just dwell within us. And I keep thinking, like, as a house guest in my home, there's no way that a house guest could come into my home and I would not recognize them. And there's no way that a house guest could come into my home and it wouldn't shift things or change things in those days that they were there. And that got me thinking about when the Holy Spirit dwells within us and we invite him and he is there. There is change that is going to occur. Something should be different than it was without him. And this song says, melt me. Melt me. Take what is me and melt it away. Mold me, then take what is left and mold me into something that looks like you. Melt me, mold me, fill me. Continue filling me with your Holy Spirit, Jesus, because that's what I want. And then use me. And church, that's where we are. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be changed by him, to reflect who he is, and then to be used by him to serve. And I'm so thankful for that. So as we move into this time, let's continue to just invite him in to this place. And the altars are open if you'd like to come and bring a need. And just remember that this one on the end here and this one on the end is reserved for someone that would like to maybe pray alone and not have people gather around them. So let's respect that. Well, let's just continue. Holy Spirit, we love you. Jesus, we love you. God, you are so worthy of every ounce of praise that we have. Jesus.
Spirit of the living God, fall. We just ask right now that your Holy Spirit would just fall fresh, that it would just rest on us, embrace us. It's hard today not to think back on the day that something so unexpected happened. And God, today, really, it should just be spent thanking you for those moments where the tongues of fire landed on the heads of your people. In a sense, completing what the apostles and your believers had hoped for, waited for. And what a movement. They not only rested, but they infilled, they inspired, and they sent them out. And they were just sent out to all places. And what's crazy is they were sent out with words that weren't theirs, with thoughts that weren't theirs, with everything that was not rooted in them, but rooted in you. I just can't imagine. God, their thoughts, as they had Jesus by their side for so many years and thinking that was enough and it was so much, and yet because of your sacrifice on the cross, they now not only had him next to them, but they understood what Jesus said when he said, I'm sending a helpmate. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, in an odd way, was inside of them. The Spirit of the living God was present in their being. I just think about the completeness that their mind must have experienced, like, oh my goodness, this is what he meant. This is why he had to go. This is what it feels like to not just see on the outside, but to experience on the inside. And so, God, today, we'd be remiss if we didn't just revel, stand in awe, honor, glorify your name for your Spirit falling fresh on that day, and for your Spirit continuing to fall fresh on us, on our carnal nature, on our selfishness, on our hurt, on our pain. And so today, God, we just praise you. Praise you for your Spirit. God, we love you. We seek you. We want more of you. Show us, Lord, your will. God, let us be challenged by your Spirit. Let us be real enough to be convicted by your Spirit. Let us be changed by your Spirit. Is that okay? Yeah, see, you're all ready, so it doesn't matter. All right. Well, if you would stand and turn to chapter 2, I'm going to start with verse 1 there. And if you remember, we kind of left with, and this is a while ago, so I'll just give you a review. We kind of talked about why basically do bad things happen to good, godly people. I still don't understand it, and I still don't have the answer for it. But today I'm going to give you the closest answer that the Word gives us. Is that okay? That we can stand on and hold fast to. And so we remember he was kind of upset because his eyes were focused on what was around him, right? And that's easy to do. In our humanness, we can do what? Get wrapped up in what's around us. And so he went to God and said, "What in the world is happening around us?" Now, I think each of us could say in this day and age, with what's happened in Texas, with what's happened around the world, that we could look around and say, "Why is this happening? Why is there such evil? Why is there?" And so he went to God and said, "Don't you see?" And then God said, "Listen, don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I'm doing things in secret that you have no idea about?" And so he kind of got on him. And then if you remember, this is so bold, Habakkuk stood back and said, "Aren't you the God that..." I mean, that's interesting. I wouldn't suggest that in your life. But hey, if you want to get bold with him, he's a big God. Obviously, he could handle it. And then he begins to say, "Aren't you the everlasting to everlasting?" I mean, he went there. He said, "Aren't you the..." And so now we come to chapter 2, verse 1. And let's start there. "I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint." I love that. I had to add that in there. It wasn't part of today. But he's basically saying, "I'm going to watch for God, and when he tells me, I'm going to tell him." Y'all ever been there before?
Right, I'm ready with the comeback when he comes with the... Thankfully, that's not what happens. "And the Lord answered me, 'Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it.'" Interesting, right? Basically saying, when they read it, they will run. Meaning they will run and spread the word. "For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by faith." And I'm going to skip down. "Woe to him who heaps up what is not his own." Then to verse 9. "Woe to him who gets evil, who gets evil gain for his house to set his nest on high." Skip to 12. "Woe to him who builds a town with blood and founds a city on iniquity." 15. "Woe to him who makes his neighbors drink and pour..." Are you all getting this? You know, woe, what that means, right? This is no light term. This is the Lord giving him a message saying, "Look, I'm here. If evil in any of these ways is seen or a part of a person's life, woe to them." That's why the tablet said they will run. You know why? Because they're going to go to their family and say, "You better watch your mouth. You better watch your tongue. You better watch your faith. You better watch your neighbor. You better watch your..." He said to run because God was saying, "Woe to them who..." This is significant. "Woe to him who makes his neighbor drink. You pour out your wrath and make them drunk in order to gaze at their nakedness." 19, "Woe to him who says, 'A wooden thing awake, to a silent stone arise.'" Then moving on to chapter 3. And I love this. This is a song. This is actually very similar to a psalm. In fact, he actually called up the string instruments and said, "Play this." And so this became a song of the people. "O Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work. O Lord, do I fear in the midst of the years? Revive it. Revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember my mercy. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light." What in the world? He got no answer. All he got was the typical answer, which was, "Woe to those who do evil, no matter whether they're a part of our kingdom or not." And then somehow something switched in him and he humbled himself and looked up. Now I'm sure you've read the rest of it on to verse 17. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food.
So today, let the Holy Spirit be present not only in our being, but in this facility, Lord, in this property, and then beyond in all the places that are represented here today. God, we pray that your holiness would be known. We pray that your goodness would be known. We pray today, God, that in our scenarios, situations, and what we see, that today we'll have the strength to look up. Though I'm sure that some here, it's hard to look up. I've been there. But Lord, let us look up today. Let us follow this. Let us know that something happened in him in a moment's time that changed his heart, that caused him to look from around to up.
And so, Lord, today we come against the enemy in the name of Jesus, and we come asking your power to be present. And so today we cast the enemy out in the name of Jesus, and we pray that you would be with us today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, despite the fact of what was going on around him, he ended with a tremendous prayer, a prayer that we should read, follow, memorize, and hold on to. Again, Habakkuk asked this question I love, and the reason I wanted to read that first part of two was that he was basically gearing up to say, the Lord's gonna, but I'm gonna. And I love that because he was honest, he was raw. We can look in our situations and God can handle us. He can handle our responses. But what's so tremendous is that when God speaks, we had better heed. For those of you that are young, you better listen, you better follow, you better get with it. Think about this. This is kind of the statement of today's message. The prophet, finding his problem solved and God's hush taking possession of his soul, pours out his whole being in a thrilling hymn of praise. Now, what do you mean? What are you saying, Pastor? Well, what I'm saying here is that basically God said, hush already. You ever been hushed? Come on now. Do you like being hushed? No. We oftentimes tell our children or what? Just stop giving us input. Just hush. Some of you want to do that in your workplace, right? Some of you want to do it with your spouses. Well, I think God has the authority to just say, hush already. Interestingly enough, Habakkuk received that hush. And see, most often, when truth is coming our way from the Lord, we don't always receive it. The terrible detriment in the church. God speaks, we hush. But here, God said, hush. Be silent, be quiet. Why are you? And he received it. In fact, he allowed it to possess him. We don't often talk about possession in a positive way, but there is positive possession by the Holy Spirit. And so this whole message is a response to that hush, the receiving of it, and then the pouring out of his soul. Let's talk about the woes. Are y'all ready for that? It's great sorrow. That if you look up in the dictionary, it's great sorrow or distress. Do y'all like being distressed? Do you like great sorrow? No. But here's what's interesting. We don't like it in what we can fathom in our mind. We don't like the distress and the sorrow that's around us. But imagine if God said, right, you're going to have a great amount of distress and sorrow put upon you because of your, I mean, that's a different kind of distress. That's a different kind of sorrow. In fact, when you think about it, it's like God saying, I will separate myself and you will see the full intent of the enemy come upon you. So woe upon the selfish. He goes through this process of each of these. Many of us struggle with selfishness. In fact, we all do, right? Is that okay to say that at moments in our life, we turn inward and we desire and we... And so interestingly enough, and I'm watering it down a little bit, he starts out with woe to the selfish. Great message to the church. They won't experience his work. Because how can self and God function together? They don't. It's so difficult. But see, it's so peaceful when we let God just... He talks about the violent. Woe upon the violent. And so he was saying, hey, whether you're part of or not a part of our kingdom, if you're violent, get ready. They will not experience his glory. We're going to talk about his glory in a minute here, but the way he describes his glory is pretty cool. And if you have any glimpse of what the Old Testament, and so he's basing it off of what he understands of the glory, right? And so here we see all of a sudden he gets it. He understands. God speaks to him in a way that he would understand. He knows the glory of Moses and all that had happened. And God said, I'm going to unleash it on the world for those that receive me. They won't experience his glory. Something that our eyes could hardly even understand. Woe upon those who hurt others. Man, we live in a world, in a society that hurts people. Oftentimes, and one of the struggles with this, and one of the struggles with why do bad things happen to good, godly people? Well, because evil somehow has authority in some sense. Very little authority, we give it more than what. But the problem is that people use that evil within their own heart to hurt others. And then those that they hurt struggle. Oftentimes those doing the hurting, they move on. I sit with people all the time and I say, well, where is that person? Well, I don't know. I'm like, you know they're not thinking about you, right? But that hurt has encompassed your whole being. Rightfully so. It was awful. But my goodness, they've moved on. And all the enemy wants to do is just... But God said, and I believe it still reigns true, so be careful. Woe upon those who hurt others. In there it says friends. They will have great, great shame. You see, what happens is if the glory is unleashed, right? If the glory is unleashed, then that which is not of God is not going to be a part of that, and immediately shame will come upon it. Woe upon idolaters. They have placed their trust in the dead. I got that statement from the Wesleyan commentary, but if you think about it, things that we idolize, whether it be stuff or products or places or whatever it may be, people, they're all dead. They all bring you no life. It's awful in this world today. So many things have embraced the hearts of people. And we don't think of it as idolatry, but it really is. Some of you have placed your trust in other people, in loved ones, in stuff, all of which is okay if dealt with biblically. But he was saying here that these people are putting their trust in something dead. All right, so let's talk about the God here. So if we go back to the scripture here, he refers to God, and it's the Eloha, E-L-O-A-H. It means singular God. So if it's singular, it means, y'all still awake? I know I lost you on the thank you. I lost you on the woe. You're like, oh gosh. But a singular God, it was first recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15. And the whole reason he used this kind of language is it contrasts the idea of God, so many gods. Nowadays, we don't think of it like that, but honestly, if we have idolatry in our lives, that is a God, that is something that's above our God. And so here he was trying to really focus in on, and God was trying to speak to us about a one God. Y'all, if we were to really evaluate and God came and spoke to each of you, you have many gods. You have identity gods. You have people gods. You have stuff gods. You have pride gods. And so this reference refers to the coming day of God's glory spreading through all the earth and bringing all the mysteries of God to light. Now that's key when you translate it, because many of you have legitimate things in your life that have occurred or are occurring that should make you question. Is that okay to say? It's okay to say. In fact, I know you well enough that many of you had some terrible things happen to you that I don't understand. But there's something in the scripture here that says that one day the glory of God will unveil all the mysteries, all the questions, all the thoughts that you weren't sure about, all the things that happened that you didn't understand, all of a sudden will come to light. And it will be revealed to you if you're found to be what? With him. Woe to those that... And so if you fall in that, you'll never, ever have your question, your concern, your heartbreak answered. That's hard to fathom. You won't. So interesting here, fear. He starts out, "Oh Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work. Oh Lord, do I fear." Fear brings patience. See, if we fear God, if we fear separation, if we fear not being currently present with him, we will learn to what? Wait. Faith squarely faces reality and trust wholly in God. This is the epitome of Habakkuk. Meaning, he doesn't know. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He knows destruction is coming. If you know anything about the time, the Babylonian, I mean, all kinds of things are going to rise up and they are going to be destroyed and there is going to be a remnant. And I mean, we know, and he knows it because God said it. But somehow he's standing in faith with all that. And he says, I'm going to trust God wholly. Are you ready for the good part? Y'all look tired. There's a good part coming. Okay. So we get into the verse 17. And we see this kind of switch and this beautiful kind of triumphant end. If you study theologians, they say at verse 17, the instruments will be playing loud and strong. This would be where the hymn really gets to, like, and we do it in church, right? We get to those places in the hymn where it's just, yes, we want to sing, we want to praise. And this is the opportunity, though, and yet, let's talk about though. Though your life seems... And you put in a real thing. Sickness, cancer, death. Put a real thing there. It's real. It's justified. It's happened. He's talking about what's coming. Though the fig tree should not blossom. No fruit will be on the vine. I mean, this is exciting, right? No fruit will be on the vines. This isn't like going to Walmart and getting the fake food in the middle of it. You know what I'm talking about? They say, actually, if you look at the supermarkets, all on the outside is the real food. Fruits, vegetables, meat. Are you with me? Did you not know that's how they do it? And everything inside is processed. Y'all awake? I mean, think about it for a second, right? Everything that God, like, wholly created from the... And then we take all that and the earth and all those names you can't read on the boxes, and we zethium gum and all that stuff, and we put all that mess in our food, and that's the interior part, okay? They didn't have the Walmarts to go to or the Payless to go to or the expensive Myers to go... They didn't have any of that, right? And so they relied on what he describes. No fruit. No figs, no produce, no fields, no food, no herds yet. Whew. In the book of Habakkuk, the greatest word is yet. The greatest word in your life is going to be yet. It's just the truth. When those days come, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. Wait a minute, isn't the same guy who a little bit ago said, I'm already ready for God's answer? Something happened. You know what it was? Yet. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy. Though harvest, flocks, produce, fields will be no more. My future is bright. Though you may be in a situation that is not bright, that is dry, that is barren, that is hard, that is lonely, yet, is that your answer? Joy is still present, and deliverance is still coming. So let's just review for a second. Let's think about the three parts of this. First part, the prophet began by wailing. If you remember, it starts out, he's crying out. It actually translated as wailing. I don't know if you've wailed, but we're talking about like deep crying. Whenever my wife deep cries, which she has a specific cry that's deep, I like do what? I heed it. I like run wherever she is and say, what's happening? Do you know what I'm saying? Like there, she only does it every once in a while, but I know that cry. And this is that kind of cry. An honest to goodness looking around cry. No wrong in that. But he ended up singing. The prophet began with complaining, not such a good thing, but ended up grateful. The prophet began looking around and ended up looking up. So what's the key thread in all of this? God spoke and he was moved to the core. Church, he was moved to the core. We don't really get to see that move. We just see it in writing. It goes from chink, chink. But something happened. Well, you don't get that. Let's try this. So basically, he watched around and he saw what was happening. Then he stood up and kind of defiance to God and said, don't you see? And then something happened. And all of a sudden, he was kneeling and he was seeing different. Trusting God, not in circumstances, trust in the unseen. Never trust in the things that we can see. He said in here, that's idolatry, that stuff, it's dead. The only thing that's life-giving is me. And you've got to have faith. You've got to know. You've got to be able to understand that I'm doing something that you can't see. And so let's, if you got your Bibles, go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 16. And I want to talk to you about what he saw. You will have your fill of shame instead of glory. Drink yourself and show your uncircumcision. And this is the key. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around you. The cup. You know what it means, right? Translated means divine retribution. Do y'all like retribution? It meant that something, the cup at the right hand, are y'all with me? The right hand of God, the Lord, the cup at the right hand was who? Jesus. God was saying to us today, to him, that this is where the change happened. I'm just assuming, but I think that this was a significant enough word from the Lord that when he realized the cup at the right hand was coming to bring retribution, you could translate it as deliverance, he was saying, the wrongdoing one day will be taken care of. The right hand, Jesus. And so in my heart, I would say in that moment, Habakkuk said, okay, this is bigger than me. We're not actually talking about right now. We're talking about the cup, Jesus, the Messiah. This is what God is preparing. He's getting ready for the, I need to just be in awe of the fact that this is even coming to bring deliverance. And so, church, we got to get it. If you will commit to allow God to move in the way that Habakkuk was moved by the words of the Lord, your life will never be the same. You won't see the same. You won't feel the same. You won't hurt the same. I don't have the answer for your hurt. Habakkuk didn't have an answer for what was happening. But yet, he found peace in a God who said, let me lift you up and hold you until the glory comes so you can see all the mysteries. I used to say to people, and studying, I realize this isn't true, that, you know, when we get to, and we say these kind of things, when we die, we're just going to know, and we're going to know all these things, and like, it's just going to be, and we won't even want to know. I don't know. I actually, as I read scripture, I'm realizing that's not true. In fact, as far back as Habakkuk, it says that the glory is going to reveal the mysteries that you've been confused about your whole life. The hurt, the shame, the stuff, the things you couldn't help. The glory is going to come over and you're going to understand. And so, no, I don't say that anymore. I say, you know what, our God's so gracious and so loving that he's going to reveal the evil. He's going to reveal the intent of the evil. He's going to reveal where sickness has come from. He's going to reveal where death was rooted. He's going to reveal where, and his glory is going to cover over it, and your mind is going to be whole, and it's going to be healed, and it's going to understand. And all those days of mourning and wailing and crying are going to make sense. But it's all found in the yet. Can you praise him until then? And that was the question that Habakkuk had to come to terms with. And I think it's the question that each and every one of us has to come to terms with. And so, are you willing? And you know what it takes? It takes Jesus. It takes his work in your life, and it takes the Holy Spirit. It takes you being willing to say, you know what? Okay, God. Okay. Would you play this song? And so as this begins, can you turn the lights down in the sanctuary? Maybe you have heartbreak. Maybe you have unanswered questions. I'd encourage you to come to the altar. Have that yet moment where you say, you know what, I don't understand yet, God.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Break every stronghold.
Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Today, we just speak your name. We speak your name, God, today. We just thank you. And so in the midst of whatever we see, yes, it may be hard. Yes, it may be beyond our understanding. We as a people will speak the words, yet I will praise you. Because there's something about you that we don't understand. There's lots of things that we believe that you're going to help us lift up from and see beyond and understand that one day you're going to comfort our hearts and show us your glory. God, be with the people at the altar. Minister to them right now, Lord. Speak into them. God, I thank you for their response, for their willingness. Lord, I can't get to each of them, but right now, Lord, I just pray that your spirit would just rest, that it would move as they speak the name of Jesus, Lord. God, move and rest on them today.
It's a powerful song, isn't it? I've been on my playlist on repeat for the last few weeks, and I think it's appropriate as we transition for us just to speak collectively as the AFC church family, the name of Jesus. So let's say that together, Jesus. Let's say it again, Jesus. Let's say it with power, Jesus. Let's say it with authority, Jesus. Yes, Jesus in the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus for my family, Jesus over everything. And I want you to know that as your student and young adult pastor, that's what I speak over our students every single week. And we have such an incredible group of students. We have such an incredible church congregation that supports not just financially,